Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter on X at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial, you can always stay up to date with everything happening at the station. Download the Odyssey app. It's free to download, free to listen. All you have to do is download the Odyssey app, subscribe to 92.9 FM ESPN, and you'll be able to keep up with all the great content here at the station. Dennis Fuller's producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company, as he is on each and every Thursday, is, of course, the college basketball and football writer for CBS Sports on Twitter, on X, at David W. Cobb. Cobb, how are we doing, buddy?
Man, I'm doing okay. Getting a little antsy here now that we got college basketball ramping up. I had to submit my All-American ballots for college basketball today at CBS. Always a fun time of year when you're, like, dual track into sports, but it's fun. It's a good time.
All right, let's talk a couple of things, because we're going to, of course, talk about Tigers Pro Day. They had that today. We got some figures. Munns tweeted that out. We'll discuss that when we get into the list. But for you, when you're ranking sports months, where does October rank for you?
Ooh, it's up there. It's up there, especially now that Major League Baseball games go by quicker.
Yeah.
And these playoff games are not 4.5-hour ordeals requiring you to stay up until 12:30. That is a major plus in baseball's category for me. Now I'm getting excited about the Grizzlies, even though, of course, they are cursed by injuries. And then you got football in full swing. So it's it might be close to one. I do love the little stretch that we get in April where we go Final Four, Masters,
WrestleMania,
starting up WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's a good little run too.
Opening day.
But
yeah.
If you're power ranking the sports months, what's better than October? I mean, I can't think of anything.
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think the two best months are October and then April. Because I don't think you can safely say, even though like I like golf and major championship golf, like the summer is just like the summer's more for me time rather than sports time. I guess you could also throw in, I mean, to me, it's just October because football feels like football really feels like it's starting to matter. And you feel like you're getting to know, all right, which teams are for real, which teams aren't. And then playoff baseball is just something that, to me, it's unlike any other sport. Like, the amount of The amount of anxiety and just fear that you have when your team is in the baseball playoffs. Like last night, we didn't even need to see the last inning to know. After the Orioles had bases loaded, nobody out, and they didn't score, like you're like, all right, you know how this is going to go. Because it feels like every time you get a base runner on in scoring position in the playoffs and he doesn't score, you just feel like you're dead. And to me, there's no other feeling like that in sports.
There's no more deflating playoff losses, I don't think, than baseball playoff losses. Because if you're an invested baseball fan, you're following that thing for, what, 6-7 months, 160-something games, and then you get down to, in this case, with the wild card series, a best of three, and it's just over so quick, and, relative to the length of the season. I think it's baseball is uniquely devastating when your team loses, especially in the early rounds of the playoffs.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. And also, it always feels like they're always relatively close losses. Like, even last night when the Padres were up 5-1, I mean, the Braves came back and they just needed, they needed one more run to just, to force a ninth inning or perhaps force a game three. And that, to me, is what makes it worse, because then you start doing the shoulda, coulda, woulda, like that. And you're 100% right. The amount of time that you have to invest in a baseball team, especially if they're good, and then it can just be over with basically in a, 27-hour period? That's tough.
Yeah, that's tough. And the Braves, I'll say, their season ended when Ronald Acuna Jr. got hurt. It ended when Spencer Strider got hurt way, way early. They just didn't have the bats, man. They didn't have the offensive firepower to hang. It was only a matter of time. Like, you would have loved to have seen them get it done. But, like, to me, the writing was on the wall when they botched that first game against the Mets the other day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, this team is not built for this. and then they had to scratch Chris Sale. And it's just like the accumulation of injuries was going to be too much for them to mount any sort of a run. Now, you don't want to see them get swept. But, yeah, that was tough. And then I was kind of as much captivated by the Cardinals doubling down kind of on the current regime. I mean, they're going to have John Mozeliak in charge for one more year before they finally hand over the reins. But, man, they've been mired in mediocrity for a while now. And that was as captivating to me down the stretch, kind of trying to figure out what the Cardinals were going to do. And if I'm a Cardinals fan, it feels like progress is coming too slow for me.
Yeah, I think the problem is you wanted to believe, and I think everyone always does this, you want to believe that like you have some type of like systematic advantage. And I think that's the other thing. While the Astros were the ones that took the heat for a lot of that cheating scandal, like if you look at the Cardinals talent pool since they got wrapped up in that, not been great. But everybody kind of wants to.
I was there.
Yeah,
I was there during that. I was on the Cardinals beat that summer for MLB.com doing their associate reporter thing, and that was the most wild, unexpected kind of occurrence. One of the most unforeseen chapters of my journalism career, because you always hear about the Cardinal way, and the Cardinals always purport themselves to be
David, we're the classiest franchise in the world.
the standard bearers of baseball.
Correct.
And, and here they are getting caught up in an FBI sting. That was weird. It was also weird because when you work for MLB.com and your articles appear on Cardinals.com, it's like, so are we allowed to...
Yeah, what can we write here?
Yeah, somebody tell me what I'm allowed to say here. That was wild. That's still on my LinkedIn page, actually, that I covered the Cardinals during a summer in which they were investigated by the FBI. But that's a great point, man. I mean, they made the playoffs that year, and they've been back since. But it's been way more spotty over the last decade for them than it was throughout, most of the 2000s leading up to that point.
Yeah, it turns out maybe it wasn't the amount of class that the fan base had. It turns out maybe, that sustained period of success probably has a lot more to do with initially Molina and Pujols, but like probably a lot of it had to do with Molina.
Yeah, and then they just kind of tried to hang on to the glory days for too long. Matt Carpenter fell off way before you really thought he was going to be out of his prime. And then, Wainwright had all those injuries, and he just couldn't quite be the guy that he was. Even though he was your emotional leader, he couldn't be out there performing at a high level. And so that was frustrating. And so, yeah, I mean, you've tried to reboot the thing with Arenado and Goldschmidt, but it's time for a facelift, man. And they're just easing into that. And if I'm a fan, I don't like it when my franchise just eases into things. If you're going to do something, just do it.
Here would be the only reason why I'm okay with it, because I've wanted Mozeliak out for a while. I just think that way of doing it doesn't work. But here's why I'm okay with it. You know you're now going to have to be selling. I would rather have somebody that's pretty experienced in making deals rather than someone that's coming in right off the bat and having to sell off and, you know, you're trying to get assets and whatnot. I'd rather have someone with a little bit more experience, probably a deeper Rolodex. Although you can make the argument for the Grizzlies, it didn't matter because...
Well, that's what I was going to bring up. Yeah. It's like when they brought in Kleiman, well, they didn't have to bring him in. He was already on staff. He had started contributing. He had been their team attorney and had started dabbling in front office decisions, but they let Chris Wallace hang around for the rest of that season. I remember that year when the Grizzlies went through that front office transition, I was told that Robert Parra made a clandestine, like impromptu flight into town for the purpose of a front office shakeup. And it wasn't clear. There was no announcement. There was no formalization that anything had changed. But within a matter of weeks, the Marc Gasol deal went down. And as we come to find out, you know, that was Zach Kleiman. So I guess that's the approach the Cardinals are going to try to take. It's like, all right, like John Mozeliak, like, you're going to be here to babysit and advise, but then we're turning this thing over to our, you know, to our new young front office. It worked well for the Grizzlies. I mean, I certainly can't sit here and blame the horrific injury luck on Zach Kleiman. So, you know, at this point, you're not batting 1,000 anymore because, you know, he's been in the role for so long. He's had his swings and misses. But, you know, all in all, it did work out all right for the Grizzlies. I'll say that.
All right, let's get into the tasting menu because, you know, I think it really starts. The calendar really heats up for me. And tonight we've got Thursday Night Football. The one thing I'm a little concerned about with Thursday Night Football, early in the season, you kind of avoid the classic Thursday night, everyone looking, you know, beat up and exhausted. Last week when the Giants played the Cowboys, that to me was like, oh yeah, this looks like Thursday Night Football for the NFL, where both teams just looked ragged. No one really had any pop. Like, it wasn't a bad game. It wasn't like terribly played or anything, but you could just tell for a game, for a divisional game, it just didn't quite have the pop. Would you say that was fair?
Yeah, now you got the Falcons coming in tonight.
Yeah.
They just went down to the wire. Like, they just had to win a game on a last-second field goal. Tampa Bay is a little bit, I would think, in a better position here. They didn't have to sweat it out as much in the fourth quarter. But I am a little surprised to see the Falcons are a slight favorite here. I guess that's just a courtesy 2.5-point home field advantage, because I guess I would have been more likely to pick the Buccaneers straight up.
Yeah, and that's why I can't figure out, is that me being like dumb? Because I'm sitting there going like, I think the Bucs are better. Because there's also NFC South rules. Like, the number one rule in the NFC South, you have to set aside the Panthers because they've just been so bad. But whoever needs the win the most, that's the team that ends up losing. I don't know how it's always worked out that way, but like, I feel like that's the way that it always goes in the NFC South. And so it's like, to me, the Falcons need this win more than the Bucs do, so therefore I like the Bucs.
that's fair, but can the Bucs run the football? That's been an issue for them. I got Rashad White on one of my fantasy teams. He's just not getting the job done, so they, to me, are like way too one-dimensional, way too reliant on the pass, and that's a concern here for me. It feels like the Falcons at least have a little bit more balance than Tampa Bay, and if Tampa struggles at all to sling it around, I don't think they have much of a run game to fall back on.
Is Bijan playing? Didn't he get banged up last week?
I didn't see him on the injury report.
Let's see. Where are my injuries? No, you're right. The only Falcons injury is Rondale Moore, which, hand up, I had no idea Rondale Moore was still there. Let's see. We've got, what do we got? Some fun. We got Fun Belt and CUSA tonight. So on ESPN2, we got Texas State and Troy. Texas State losing a heartbreaker a game in which I don't think they ever trailed till the final kick against Sam Houston State, blowing, I think, a three-touchdown lead or three-score lead. They take on Troy. Troy has Troy's been bad. Troy's been real bad. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that was a great hire. I don't know what there is you can do at the G5 level when you lose your good coach and then he ends up taking a lot of his players going down to, you know, going down with him to Tulane to kind of help ease that transition. But if you want some fun belt, you got that. And Sam Houston State at UTEP, both those, I guess neither candidates for the Pac-12 anymore, but once upon a time.
They should make tonight, they should make Sam Houston versus UTEP, like a winner gets in the Pac-12 and a loser goes to the Mountain West. That would be fun. That would be like promotion relegation. And then Texas State has been in that discussion too. So this is kind of like the Conference USA / Sun Belt like tryout night for the nation here. Texas State has actually said, though, that they are going to stay put in the Sun Belt, which I don't totally understand that decision, but hey, more power to them. The more teams that choose to be happy where they are, like, I think that the stability is good for college sports. Pretty nasty slate, though. Although, I will say this. Like, look at Sam Houston, man. They were awful last year in their first season in the FBS. And now here they are at 4-1. They've already won more games this year than they did last year. They were one of those teams that was an FCS power. And it was like, all right, guys, how's this really going to work out for you going up to the big boy level now? And it seems to be working out pretty well for them here in year two.
All right, I think I figured out what's wrong with your Zoom. You got Bud Elliott-ed. You got mute button.
Oh, did I mute?
Yeah.
All right, let's see if I can figure this out. I did mute myself, so you weren't hearing me twice. But
yeah.
I can work on that.
So let's see if it works. And then, Dennis, that light, just make sure that the light on the board, because I had that same problem this morning where I don't think it is, but let's see. Can you hear us now?
I don't know. Can you hear me?
So we can't.
I can hear you just fine.
Yeah. Maybe I screwed it up. I have no idea.
Maybe you should mute yourself. Mute yourself on your Zoom. That might help.
All right. So I have muted myself. Let's see if that works.
Because you were coming through twice, which is fine. But anyway, no, I mean, I got you here on the phone.
Yeah, we can do that. All right. Then also we have game three tonight. So we have Mets and Brewers. And I think it's funny because I feel like while the Mets are obviously more of a high profile brand, I feel like both of these fan bases feel the same way, in which I think they both just expect the worst when it comes to playoff baseball.
Yeah, and that's warranted at this point. But
yeah.
Dude, I love this kid for the Brewers, Churio.
Yeah,
like, he's 20 years old out here launching bombs.
Leadoff bombs.
Yeah, and then coming back with one in the late innings last night. I read some ridiculous stat. He's the only player in playoff history or something to lead off with a home run and then hit one in the eighth inning or later of a like win or go home sort of game. Or I guess they could have lost that game and been fine. But like the point is, like, he was just ridiculous. So yeah, that's crazy when you got a 20-year-old performing like that on that big of a stage.
Okay, then let's go to Friday. We have, for those that don't know, this is a Conference USA, a historic Conference USA matchup. Jacksonville State at Kennesaw State. Houston at TCU. I think I'm dubbing that game. Somebody's got to win, right?
Yeah, Houston desperately needs it, but so does TCU, man. That squad has been cheeks since they made the – I think Georgia broke TCU in that national championship game because the Horned Frogs have not been they've not been chirping much since then.
No, they have not. Neither team particularly adept at scoring, so you have that to look forward to on your Friday nights. We also have Michigan State at Oregon, so Jonathan Smith returns to Altson, and then we have what I think is somewhat of a fascinating game: Syracuse at UNLV. UNLV quickly becoming, it seems to me, like, I don't know if we can deem anyone to be a favorite at this point for the G5 spot, but UNLV to me is making as much of a case as anyone right now. And you're going on the road, or I beg your pardon, you're hosting Syracuse. Syracuse feels like one of those teams that I don't ever love them as a favorite. Like, to me, like, they're peak ACC. I don't like them as a favorite, but I always think they're frisky as a dog.
Right. And why is Syracuse – why did they sign up to go play UNLV on the road? That's a head-scratcher. They're going to regret that. Don't think this necessarily is going to go well for Syracuse. UNLV, to your point, we've got some research at Sportsline that has them right now as the third most likely. I was surprised by this, but the third most likely G5 playoff team behind Boise, which has the loss against Oregon, and then Navy actually at number two right now in terms of best percentage to make the playoff from the G5. So, but I will say, like, if UNLV is able to get a win over an ACC team, it's not quite I don't think it quite gets them to that Boise tier in terms of some of the percentages and odds, but it's just further validation that they are legit. And I mean, I don't really need any further validation. I think from what I've seen out of UNLV, they are legit, even without
Matt. Completely agree.
They might have upgraded going to Haj Malik Williams because he can actually throw it a little bit. And so now they are multidimensional offensively in a way that they were not before.
All right, now let's go to Saturday. So it's not – it's not like the greatest slate, but this does feel like one of those weekends where on paper you look at it and you're not like super pumped, but like I think when we're watching the Cover 3 boys on Saturday night, like I think this has the makings for kind of a chaos weekend.
Could be. I hope it is. And so I've got two, including one that was on Friday night that I want to circle back to real quick.
All right, go for it.
Does Oregon get caught up in the look ahead to Ohio State? And does Ohio State get caught in the look ahead to Oregon? Because Ohio State's got to play Iowa. So anyway, that's in the afternoon. So that's kind of I'm jumping ahead on the tasting menu there. But if you're looking for chaos, like those are two teams that I've got my eye on because both those are top 10 teams. They play each other next week. And now, you know, they have at least fairly difficult challenges here this week.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, the thing about Michigan State is Aiden Childs is such a turnover machine, but when he's on, he is really, really good. And so it's like, could this be a game where he catches fire and he doesn't turn it over? Because I don't know, man. Like, I know everyone wants to point to that Oregon State game, but I'm not sure what I think about Oregon State. I just haven't thought Oregon has looked right. Their offensive line has left a lot to be desired.
Yeah, Oregon is producing a lot of empty calories.
Yeah.
And if you go back to Michigan State's loss against Ohio State last week, yeah, it was a 38-7 loss. And it's like, all right, well, they're not ready. They're not ready yet. Year one under Jonathan Smith, they can't compete with the top of the Big Ten. But if you go and look, they actually sustained some drives early on in that game against Ohio State in a pretty surprising way, given how good we think Ohio State's defense is. And so that just makes me wonder a little bit, like if they can do that against Oregon and if Aiden Childs can finish off those drives. And like, as you mentioned, he's got to play his like A-plus best type of game as a really young player. I don't know. That one could get interesting. I think Oregon could find itself in a struggle there in the second half.
Yeah. I mean, we know Jonathan Smith has had success against Oregon. So I just don't know if he has the horses this year, but I don't know. I am somewhat interested. I'm curious to see, like, does Oregon, because I think you're right, they are clearly in a look-ahead spot. Weirdly, when we get to that Ohio State game, there's something about Ohio State playing Iowa that feels like, to me, like that kind of avoids the look-ahead spot, because it's like, even though they're not regular opponents, like, I feel like it's a game where Ohio State knows they can kind of flex, and I think right now, like, they're looking for a chance to be like, all right, here we go.
Well, I did pick Ohio State to cover, so it's an interesting spot, but the Buckeyes, I mean, you know, they're only a 19.5-point
yeah.
favorite, which they really shouldn't have too much trouble with because they didn't play their best game against Michigan State. They still won by 31. That's the deal with Ohio State. That's what's scary about them is – even when they play a C-plus, B-minus type of game, they still beat people by 3, 4, 5 touchdowns or more. And the number of times this season where they're really going to have to be at their best are pretty few and far between. And so Iowa just doesn't have enough offensively to keep up. And even if Ohio State messes around, Ohio State's still going to be able to get to 40, or at the very least 30. And I don't think there's any scenario where – where Iowa even gets to 20 against Ohio State. So I do like the Buckeyes there. I just, don't count on it looking pretty because oftentimes this year for them, it really hasn't looked that great yet. But that's the beauty of playing a soft schedule to start out with. You can get a lot of reps for different players, and you don't have to be at full go right out of the gate. Now, of course, we did see Ole Miss get burned in a similar scenario, but I'm with you. Like, I think Ohio State is so much more talented than Iowa in a way that you couldn't really say that about Ole Miss with Kentucky.
And so the other thing on that one is, like, I feel like if a team's going to scare Ohio State, I think it's going to have to be in the passing game. Ohio State's not going to let you run it on them. And to me, it's like, I don't know how Iowa hangs in that game with Cade McNamara.
It would be hilarious if it happened, if Cade McNamara played the game of his life. So Iowa's entire offense is oriented around Caleb Johnson at running back, and he's sick. I mean, he's one of the best backs in the country. But this is Ohio State. You're going to get down at some point by a fairly significant margin, and you're not going to be able to pound the rock, and you're going to have to throw it. And just don't think Iowa can do that. But, hey, look, they're going to try to borrow the Mark Stoops game plan, I'm sure. Mark Stoops and Iowa have history together, and Mark Stoops was able to control the ball for 40 minutes against Ole Miss last week. I mean, Iowa will try and do the same thing against Ohio State. I just don't know that it's going to work out quite the same.
I have heard if this is finally it, I've heard Stoops is the name that makes the most sense there.
Yeah, I mean, if he was willing to jump at Texas A&M, I wouldn't quite put Iowa on that tier in terms of, because it feels like Texas A&M actually has the resources to win a national title. I mean, they've never done it, so it's hard to say that definitively, but they invest in their football program, have the talent in the state to do it. Iowa is not quite that, but I could see it. Like, it's clear that he's interested in kind of moving on to do something else. He made that quite obvious with his Texas A&M flirtations.
Yeah, the only thing that gives me a little hesitation there is Iowa's still a good job, as good of a job as it was without the Big Ten West.
Yeah, well, but I'll flip the question back on you. Is Kentucky still as good of a job now that there's no SEC East? you don't get Vanderbilt guaranteed on that schedule every year moving forward. You know, South Carolina and Missouri, who historically were pretty beatable opponents, it's just tougher in the SEC. It's tougher in the Big Ten. There are no easy places, honestly.
Yeah, I'm with you, but I would also say the expectations at Kentucky, even though people were still starting to get, like, frustrated, he was never in jeopardy of losing his job. You know what I mean?
Well, and Mark Stoops is also rid of John Calipari now.
Yes.
What has that done for his quality of life?
Yeah.
Mark Pope seems like a much easier guy to get along with, and basketball will always be number one at Kentucky. So maybe it's as simple as he wants to go to a football school. He obviously has connections at Iowa. Yeah, I can see it. It's just, it kind of depends on his happiness at Kentucky, and his happiness may be higher now without Calipari on that campus. I mean, that may legitimately be a needle mover for him.
All right, so in the early window, we get our first look at, I guess, Boston College tested Missouri a little bit, and Vanderbilt obviously played them tough, but, like, I think all of us are wondering, like, what are you, Missouri? Because so far they've not passed the eye test, and they go to A&M. My only problem with this game is I still have no idea what A&M is. Like, I know we're doing the whole thing with Missouri, but I think we kind of forget. This is kind of what Missouri did last year, and I'm still not convinced that anything that we've seen from A&M clearly dictates that they're a good team.
Well, I get you. Like, I feel you on that, but I feel better about Texas A&M at home than I do against Missouri. Like, I will put more stock in Texas A&M beating Arkansas, however flukish that may have been. I'll put more stock in them beating Florida, even though Florida's bad. I mean, they won that game in the swamp. So now they get a home spot, their first real home game since losing to Notre Dame. And to me, I think that's going to make a difference here, because you got this Missouri team that really hasn't been tested, almost lost at home to Vandy and BC, and now they got to go on the road against the 12th man. I mean, Brady Cook isn't going to be flustered by the environment, but there's a lot of guys on that defense that I still don't know anything about, because Missouri lost five guys on that defense to the NFL draft, and they lost their coordinator. Marcel Reed seems like the type of guy who could go out there and throw for 200 and run for 120 against Missouri. So, you know, hey, especially if his sister, who works at Missouri, gives the game plan
yeah.
to him, you know, right? Yeah, right. Yeah, Eli Drinkwitz is afraid of that.
We've also got sneaky good game in the ACC. I think everybody wrote SMU off when they lost to BYU at home. But they, ever since making the quarterback change, and I know they technically made the quarterback change before that game, they've been clearly better on offense. They're still undefeated in the league. Like, to me, you know, Louisville's got a loss, but it's not a league loss. Like, this is kind of like a sneaky, one of these two teams could actually contend for the ACC.
Yeah, I had totally written SMU off after the first couple weeks. They looked awful.
Yeah, they did.
Now, you get a Louisville team, like, you just get banged up playing a team like Notre Dame. Like, there's no way to get out of that game feeling like you're not bruised a little bit. And Louisville might be in a little bit of a hangover spot there. And it would be kind of classic ACC for SMU to go on the road, beat Louisville, and just kind of further throw that league into chaos. Because, I mean, let's be real. That league right now, it's Miami, it's Clemson, and it's everybody else. And maybe we thought Louisville could be that, you know, part of that conversation, but yeah, I don't see it, man. Like, I don't think they've got the high caliber athletes and personnel required to compete with Miami and compete with Clemson for the league.
All right, the morning slate's not great. If you gotta score some points with a wife, the morning's a nice day to do this. You need to go get the pumpkin. Go do that. You need to take the fall photos. The early window. All right, let's get to this afternoon window, because I think there are a few interesting games to me. As mentioned, we have Ohio State and Iowa. Cobb and I have just basically told you how I think Ohio State can score 21 points? I do. So therefore, I am laying that. You have, what will Georgia look like after that Alabama game? And they're hosting Auburn. And to me, like, this is like the classic, if Hugh Freeze still has some magic in him to, like, have another moral victory, like close loss, this kind of feels like a spot for that. But the game that I'm the most interested in is actually this one, because I think this is a test case. Ole Miss at South Carolina. And here's the reason why I'm very interested in it. Ole Miss takes the loss to Kentucky last week. And let's be clear, if they lose this one, everything that they were playing for this whole year, the last dance, you know, being a playoff team, that's pretty much out the window. Like, yeah, you can technically run the table and still, that would give you a win over Georgia, win over LSU. But what I'm very fascinated in is what would happen to a team like Ole Miss that was a cash the chips in, go all in on this year, and you're basically done the first week of October. I will be fascinated to know, like, what that team looks like the rest of the way.
Yeah, and as much as the team is concerned, and a valid one, because those guys were all, you know, hired soldiers, or a bunch of them were, I'm as much worried about Lane Kiffin's continued engagement.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, he's a matured Lane Kiffin, but he's still Lane Kiffin. I mean, like, how much is he going to care if Ole Miss takes a second loss the first weekend of October? I mean, he knows that this was there all in year, and he knows that Florida might be interested, and that's a very real concern. And how just on the edge of South Carolina to break through after they suffered that brutal home loss against LSU, a game they would have won with a more favorable whistle, or if Lenora Sellers didn't get hurt. And now you got the possibility of Lenora Sellers coming back. I think it's a really tricky spot for Ole Miss.
All right, then let's go to the nightcap quickly. So we have Clemson at Florida State, DJU out with the broken hand, or broken finger, I should say. Brock Glenn is in. I don't know, man. Like, maybe it's not fair, but I'm not holding the bowl game against him. Cobb, he was really bad in that ACC championship game, and they had much better weapons in that game than what he's going to go to battle with against Clemson tonight, or Saturday night.
Denigrate our native son.
I know, and I root for him, but, like, I don't know. It was a tough look.
Yeah, like I mentioned, Georgia broke TCU a couple years ago. They may have broken Florida State, too.
Yeah.
How I'm not questioning the legitimacy of DJU's finger injury, but
I think you have to have the eyebrows raised.
I mean, awfully convenient that before they play his former team in Clemson at 1-4, that he just so happens to have this situation pop up, and it just so happens too that Mike Norvell had already decided that he was going to play Brock Glenn in the fourth quarter last week. And then this mysterious injury occurred for DJU. The eyebrows are raised. That's a really good way to put it. They would really be raised if Florida State had only played four games and DJU could sit and call this a redshirt year. That's the one factor since they've played five games where I'm like, okay, well, you know, maybe this is legit. But, this is awful, man. It's awful for FSU. It's awful for Mike Norvell. And, I mean, for their sake, you kind of hope Brock Glenn can show them something. Otherwise, they're going to be shopping pretty hard in the portal.
All right, then my number two game, it's the Vols at Arkansas, because I'm fascinated by what does Arkansas have left? Because they've lost two games that could have easily gone the other way. And I think it's also fair to note, like, they won a game against Auburn that could have gone the other way. But, like, that's the way that it's played out. You have Tennessee going on the road again. I just wonder, man, like, you've got Arkansas, I think they're bye weeks next week. If this thing gets ugly, I just wonder if we're already at interim spot come next week.
Wow. And that interim would be Bobby Petrino? Wow. Right?
I mean,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal, though. I'll push back.
Do they maybe give it to T-Rob? Because, like, by all accounts, Juracek does not want to do the Petrino thing. Do you maybe give T-Rob the shot? Like, young, exciting guy? Like, is that – do you audition him?
I don't know. If Florida's not going to fire Billy Napier yet, then, like, I don't think Arkansas can justify firing Sam Pittman. Like, Florida's got to be first here, right? Like, their situation
is
so much worse.
That brings me to the game that we could have top 10 Michigan being an underdog in our national championship rematch. Like, I'm going to have eyes on that. I am very fascinated by this UCF-Florida game. Because it opened up with Florida as a favorite. It's now moved, I think, 3 points the other way to UCF. You're telling me that you think the Florida fan base is just going to let's ride this out if they lose to UCF at home?
Jeffrey, I've got a Billy Napier fired shell of an article.
Ready to go?
That I've already updated three times. I just put in a new record after every loss. I need to go ahead and do that before the mayhem arrives on Saturday. I need to just go ahead and update that. Is this UCF is going to beat them, which very well could happen. Although UCF was awful against Colorado last week. But, dude, if you lose at home to UCF, I mean, there's you just for the sake of the dignity of your program, you got to go ahead and do it, don't you?
I mean, there's obviously going to be buyout questions. It's like, if you've already made up your mind, what are you doing? Like, what are you waiting on? Like, I know there's the whole, like, well, we don't know like what we're going to do about the interims. Like, just name someone the interim. They're going to take the job. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's going to be someone else's. It's not a good shot, but it's going to be their only shot to make a case to keep the job. You know what I mean? Like, someone is going to end up taking it. All right, quickly, let's go to the night slate because I think it's interesting. We got Miami, or the late slate, I should say. Miami at Cal. It's where game day is going to be. Marshawn Lynch is going to be the guest picker. And then we also have Texas Tech at Arizona, which will be a fun game. I don't know if it's going to be a good game, but it'll be fun. I think Miami's in an interesting spot because you got Wilcox as an underdog. Wilcox is going to be familiar with what Cristobal is going to want to do. He's obviously going to be familiar with Cam Ward. Like, I don't know, man. 10:30 body time in Berkeley. Like, you and I have watched enough college football to know there's nothing more Pac-12 after dark than the 9:30 game at Cal with about 20 to 25,000 people in. It feels like it's always, like, overcast and smoky or foggy. Like, I'm very interested in that. If Miami's gettable.
Bro, how are you doing on these late-night games? Because I struggled last week, even with Utah, you know, top 15 team on the ropes. Like, I couldn't make it. I couldn't do it. I passed out at, like, 11:45, and shoot, I mean, I'm still 6 weeks away from becoming a father. You already are. Are you making it to the end of these games?
Yeah, I'm built different, though.
It's tough.
I will say, there have been a couple of weeks recently where I'm like, I think I'm going to bed. I last week I had the adrenaline to stay into it. All right, we got to take a break. We're late to get to Eric. We'll do that next right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Eric Aston is, of course, the Memphis Grizzlies radio network play-by-play announcer. Kind enough to join us as he has been riding roller coasters the last few days. Eric, how are you enjoying your last bit of time off before the season gets cranked up?
It's good time. It's been a great few days down here in Orlando. So, yeah, enjoying it. Did the Halloween Horror Nights last night. Just today kind of taking it easy, just relaxing, and then one more day tomorrow. To the parks and then head back, get ready for open practice, and then a flight to Dallas on Sunday.
All right, we avoided disaster with Jaren's hamstring. Do we need to help calm us down? Because I do think, I understand, you know, fan bases are the way that they are, but
right.
I do feel like the fan base is not misguided when they hear of another injury and they're a little freaked out.
No, I don't blame him, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. You know, Vince Williams, G.G. Jackson, those hurt, and, you know, after what this organization and their fan base went through last year, I can't blame them. Yeah, you avoided disaster, but it's still a reason for concern. Like, why? Like, you can't control the human body, but you're just like, why does this keep happening? And there's no answer to it. I mean, there just isn't. It's not these guys are in peak physical condition. They're strong as, you know, stronger than most human beings walking the earth, and just things happen. And it's that age old Murphy's Law. When it rains, it pours. And so it's tough. It's tough to see that. I'm glad they averted it. I think it means they're going to be extremely cautious. in preseason, but you've also got to find some chemistry, and you got to find it in a hurry. I was told today that ESPN has, you know, in their predictions had the Grizzlies finishing second in the West, which is higher than a lot of people did. Other people are not as keen on this team. I think there's a lot of unknowns. And it, you know, obviously it all hinges on whether Ja is available and healthy. And if he's available and healthy, they can be very good. Desmond Bane, I think, is going to continue to show the NBA what type of player he's become, which is that of a high-level, complementary scorer that on certain nights can be your go-to guy if you need him to be. He's an all-star caliber player. Jaren has made an all-star game. But you're going to have to find the chemistry with guys like Marcus Smart, Zach Edey, and you know, even Santi Aldama getting in there, and you know, all the faces that haven't spent a lot of time playing basketball together. They may have been on the team, but not playing alongside one another. You got to develop that chemistry quickly, but at the same time, you're not going to win a division or, you know, a spot in the playoffs in October, but you certainly can lose one.
So, Eric, this is your old friend David Cobb here, and
I recognize your voice. The fact that you had introduced yourself to me hurts my heart. I recognize your voice, David. How are you? How's the family?
Well, we're doing well. Expecting our first kid here soon. I mean, I'm just glad that you don't still hold any animosity against me for tweeting half court. You know, your half court shots on the road back when I was on the road.
Why would I have animosity over you showing the greatness that is my half court shooting ability?
your hit rate was slim, but I always commend you for your effort.
Oh, slim? There. I mean, that's not an easy shot to make. But you're right.
It's not. So I was going to ask, like, another one of our old friends, John Hollinger, had a piece out at The Athletic where he listed the Grizzlies as one of his teams he thinks is going to fall short of expectations. And one of the reasons why he thinks that is because he describes their depth as, quote, vanilla. And yeah, I mean, you don't have the Anthony Melton and Kyle Anderson and those guys. They've been gone for a while now. But to me, it feels like they have built in some decent depth into this franchise, which is really important when you're dealing with injuries. I mean, where do you think the Grizzlies are from a depth standpoint once you get past the three-headed monster of Ja, Dez, and Jaren? I mean, how is the depth of this roster?
I think where you're concerned in terms of depth is after, you know, Jaren and Zach and Brandon and Santi are your top four bigs, but really only one of them is a true in the middle, in the paint, down low big, and that's Zach Edey, who's a rookie. You know, Jaren did that last year out of necessity, but I think we would all agree he's better squaring up 15 feet out, not low posting, and not having to try to take the brunt of the rebounding. Brandon's a good rebounder, but he's a little undersized, and you're talking about a guy who relied on his athleticism that's coming off an Achilles, and then Santi is more of a stretch four. So I think that's one concern, is rebounding up front, and do you have great rebounding? And, you know, time will tell, but they'll have to see, because Steven Adams was an elite-level rebounder. Jonas Valanciunas, we joked, would fall out of bed and get a double-double. And then I think the concern is at point guard. You know, the years that they, and it's nothing against Scottie Pippen Jr., but he's got his first year under his belt. That's still relatively inexperienced. When this team was making those runs to the number two spot, or even in Ja's first year, and when they went to the bubble, the big injury was not just Jaren in the first game, was Tyus Jones wasn't available. And that dramatically impacted that team that I thought the way they were going before the pandemic shut everything down, they were going to make the postseason. I thought the road trip we had embarked on was huge. It was three games against teams that were in the mix, and I thought that the way the Grizzlies were playing at that time, they stood a good chance to win at least two of those games, if not all three, and that would have pretty much solidified them as the eighth seed. Now things are different. They've added the play-in tournament, but I can see where John's coming with that. I also think, you know, don't discount that Marcus Smart facilitated the offense in Boston at times. Don't discount that Desmond Bane has done some of that. And you've got to find that. And I think that when he's saying the depth is vanilla, you don't look at that second group or the guys that come in off the bench and look, okay, there's a sixth man of the year candidate. There's a guy that's going to come in and every night going to, you know, get you 15 to 20. And I don't know that they have that. It's more of a by committee. So, you know, everybody's got their opinions, and that's fine. I think the depth does help them. I think it's, in some points, they're too deep. They have too many pieces if they're healthy, when you're talking about G.G. Jackson. G.G. Jackson could be that guy in the six-man role that can get you, you know, big numbers off the bench scoring-wise, but he could also be your starter at the three because of his length and athleticism, but now we won't know until more than likely after Christmas. So, and then Vince Williams there too. So it's interesting. They've already sustained a couple injuries, and we're not freaking out like, oh my gosh, your top eight guys are going to have to play 40 minutes a night, which isn't even possible. But you know, you're not worrying about burning guys out. You still have plenty of players. You know, Luke Kennard, John Conchar, and you know, the rookies coming in can help as well. So it's going to be interesting. But yeah, I can see where John went with that. But I tend to think that they're almost too deep. And maybe what he means by vanilla is there's not a star standout, you know, couple guys off the bench. Whereas, like you mentioned, the guys, D'Anthony Melton, Tyus Jones, those guys in the past, that you, when they came in, it was, all right, here we go. They're starters on any other team.
I think the other thing that's interesting to me is, you know, the new offense and whatnot. Like, do you think when we're watching games, we're going to notice anything that's, you know, completely different? Or do you think maybe this is something of early season storyline, we got to have something to talk about?
I think it's more early season storyline, something to talk about, because the head coach is still the same.
Yeah.
And the assistant coach that had the offensive duties last year is still the same. I think maybe they're more comfortable in what they're doing there. I don't think you totally overhaul the offense based on what happened last year. I think that's, you know, you maybe found some things that you don't think work with this roster. Okay, I can get with that, but to totally overhaul it based on, you know, what your results were last year and what the numbers were, that's tough, because you didn't have the guy in there that gets everybody the ball where he needs it, or you know, makes everybody around him better. And that, again, no disrespect to Scottie Pippen, he was playing, you know, it's basically his first season in the NBA in with the big clubs. He had been there the year before, but only been up for a couple of games, and you know, he's more of a scoring guy, but he did, I thought he did an admirable job, and the guys that were there did the best they could. Derrick Rose, when he was healthy, did what they could. So that's why I think this training camp is really, especially going up to Nashville, because of the work that's being done on the building, basically getting away, kind of being out of the spotlight, and just being able to get down to the business of hooping, I think is big for them. So we'll see how it turns out. And hopefully if something's not working, I have no doubt in my mind that staff does not harbor the ego or too much pride to say, well, we're doing it anyway, and we're going to keep doing it till it works. You have to be adaptive when you're trying different things. So I'm pretty sure there'll be that.
Eric, enjoy the rest of your time off, buddy.
Bob, great to hear from you. Jay Wright, always good to hear you, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. That is, of course, Eric Hasseltine, Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer. Not far away from hearing Eric back calling games. I want to remind you, the program brought to you one of my favorite spots in town. It is, of course, Birdie's. It's located at 493 South Main Street, Suite 101. Three golf simulators, virtual putting course, full-service bar, great TV selection. And right now, you should go take advantage of the membership options. For $100 a month, you'll get 10 hours on the simulators. So essentially, $10 for 10 hours. Normal hourly rates are about $45 an hour. So that is a terrific deal. But you'll also get 20% off food and food and merch. You will also get 10% off golf rates for guests. You'll also get an additional 20% off if you exceed your 10 hours. So it's a tremendous deal. Go take advantage of that. Golf at birdies.com for full details. League play about to start up here in a couple of weeks. Make sure you're following them on Instagram at birdies901 for all of the information. They'll be open early on Saturday and Sundays. You can go watch, of course, all the football. You even can watch Premier League early. Also, while you're on the simulators, you can watch your favorite game with the sound. So it makes for a great group hang if you're looking for something to do here either tonight, tomorrow, or on the weekend. Golf at birdies.com. When we come back, let's get into the list. We'll do it next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.